You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Randy Schmidt, owner of Madison Property Restoration. Randy, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
You know, I appreciate you being on the show here because you have a good story. And I love people with good stories here. So how long have you had Madison Property Restoration?
Actually, we're just ending our second year.
Is it? That's it? Holy cow, I feel like you've been doing this for decades.
I managed one of the larger companies in town before that.
But, sure.
No, I started this company about 2 years ago.
Wow. All right. So far things are cool?
Things are going very well.
All right.
We're rolling along nicely ahead of our business plan and very happy.
Sure.
Very happy with the progress we've made in 2 years.
So I want to just so that the listeners know, what is Madison Property Restoration?
We are a property catastrophe restoration company.
Okay.
So if someone has a flood or water damage, or they're growing mold in their house, or sewage backup,
sure,
or they have a fire in their house,
right,
or their roof collapses and their house fills full of water.
So bad day.
Bad day. Yeah,
bad
day
fixes.
I often tell customers that if I'm on your doorstep, you're probably having a really bad day.
All right, but it's better now. You're on their doorstep.
Well, and that's the truth of it. Once I get there, the worst is behind them. And
sure,
we start working for solutions and trying to figure out how it happened.
Sure.
Get it cleaned up as fast as possible. Get the family safe.
Right.
Either into a hotel or grandma's house, or sometimes they can stay in their home.
Sure.
It just depends upon how bad it is.
All right. How do you get involved in a business like this? Because, I mean, this is messy work.
It's very messy work.
We got mold, we got sewage water, we got just a mess, right? I imagine if a fire happens, you got whatever the fire people sprayed
on. Well,
the
fire's out by the time we get there.
Right. But I mean, you're talking just stinky mess.
Soot's a carcinogen.
Okay.
I'm going to back up and say that the first thing we really worry about in these situations is keeping our people safe, all of our workers, including me.
Right.
Keeping a customer safe.
Sure.
So sometimes we have structural integrity issues after a fire.
Oh, I bet.
We have to make sure that we can go in. Usually the fire marshal will tell us yes or no.
Okay.
Fire marshal says no, then we sit around and wait for the fire marshal to say yes.
If they say no,
can't go in.
I'm guessing that something has to be done in order for that to
usually if they say no, they're waiting for the investigation to end.
Gotcha.
They have to determine the source of every fire that they're going to.
Okay. So
they don't want us in there monkeying around until they're ready.
So it's not necessarily a structural issue at that point.
But it could be that the floors are unsafe to walk. A lot of reasons. We don't do a lot of fire. Mold and water are really what we do the most of.
I imagine there's more mold and water issues than there are fire. It's like,
probably.
I want to say that I hope, but
probably 20 times more water damage than there is fire.
Sure.
Fire's rare.
I bet.
Fire's rare.
Hopefully that's a good thing.
Yeah. But in a water job, there's still a lot of safety issues. We have customers who immediately want to put on their boots and walk down the basement.
All right.
Or sometimes they just go down there in their flip-flops.
Sure.
I've had customers walk into 2 foot of sewage in flip-flops, knowing full well where the water came from. And I instruct them, explain to them, they shouldn't be there. This is why. I mean, things like tetanus and impetigo and hepatitis.
Yeah.
These are real things.
So these aren't
things you just hear about in movies. These are real things. And walking in sewage, it's got to be right up there near the top of the list of how to get them.
So when we're at a public pool
and
some kid
does
their business in the pool, right? His little turd floating there.
Yeah.
They empty the pool, they shock it, and you can't go in there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
These people are just walking into Bear Pool with many more.
It's worse because in a swimming pool, there's all sorts of things to purify
the
water
and
kill bacteria and germs and disease and things like that.
They don't have that.
No.
Not like raw sewage doesn't have chlorine yet.
Not yet. No. So that's rare that we would walk into that situation, but I was just thinking of an apartment building where we got to the job site years ago, and the manager took it upon himself to print a little notice and put it on the front door of every apartment in the complex. telling them to immediately come down to the basement and get their contents.
No!
Yeah, we hadn't even pumped out the water yet. And there's people coming down there, flip-flops, some bare feet, and I tell them, get out of here. They're like, no, I got to get my stuff. I'm like, your stuff's in a toilet.
Yeah, you know, forget just, about your stuff.
Yeah, just, yeah, your stuff. Yeah, just call your renter insurance agent.
Yeah.
Like, start there. You're probably just going to get paid for this.
Yeah.
But the majority of our calls are pipe bursts.
Okay.
A lot of pipe bursts. Mm-hmm. Ice damming. We did a lot of ice damming. Madison saw a ton of ice dams last year when it was 30 degrees below zero on January 28th.
Well, it was going up and down, right? They were super hot for winter there, and
it
super
was,
cold.
It was just insane.
Yeah.
Just insane. And an ice dam does a lot of damage. Now, here we are. We're in December.
Mm-hmm.
We're 10 months removed from January 29th. And,
sure.
And we are still doing ice dam work.
Wow.
Yeah, people still, they're just finding the mold. They're smelling it.
Okay.
They're seeing water stains come through because they had a lot of water come in their house. They never saw the water.
Okay.
But now they're seeing the effects of it. And in fact, today I was on site with one of my teams. We had to open up the exterior of a house.
Oh.
Yeah. Underneath the siding, the sheathing, behind the fireplaces, down into the basement, three stories of damage. And here it is. 32 degrees outside. So we're having to deal with that this week while we have good weather.
Wow.
But mold, I would say if there's one thing we are best at,
yeah,
and the one thing we do the most of is mold mitigation work.
Okay.
Everybody has to be good at something.
Sure.
And my team is very, very good at mold and then putting houses back together.
Okay. So how do you get good at mold? I imagine no one's 5 years old and like, I want to be a mold remediation specialist.
No, I don't think anybody does. It's odd. I was in a construction business for a long time.
Okay.
And I owned a company called Randall Cabinetry in Middleton for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
And we were doing great. I had a 7,500 square foot shop, a bunch of cabinet makers, good, strong business.
Sounds good.
Recession hit.
All right, you're talking 2009?
Yeah, and we...
Everybody talks about that when they sit in your chair there.
Well, it was brutal.
It was a bad day,
and,
I get it.
And, I mean, we were doing business with a lot of the big general contractors in town. We were manufacturing products for other companies.
All right.
And...
you folded?
About 70% of 70% of the market dried up.
Wow. All right.
And what do? You know, we went from... doing a whole lot of business to about 60% of what it took just to keep the door open. So I got out of that business.
60% of that? That's not enough.
No, it's not. No. So I sold my company in a day. I sold in a day. Went to one of my best customers, explained the situation. And he said, come back tomorrow with the price. And because they needed to bring it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with the price, showed them the number. He said, fine, call the lawyers. Let's do it. We're done.
Wow.
And I went and ran that operation in their company for a couple of years.
Okay.
And I was recruited into the restoration business by a local company.
Okay.
And I had no experience, none. And my first day in the business was in a classroom in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Getting certified in water restoration and structural drying.
Sure.
And I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing.
None.
I didn't read the text in advance.
Sure.
I had no idea what I was walking into.
You're talking 2011, 2012, something like that? Or?
This would be, 13.
Okay.
13. And so I'm sitting in this classroom. It was a five-day class.
Yeah.
And after the third day, I was just sweating bullets.
Oh, no.
I mean, everybody in the class had been in the industry for like 2 to 20 years.
Oh, so this is old hat.
And they had... slang terms for everything. They're throwing around psychromatic formulas. I have no idea what's going on. So what do you do?
I don't know. Just punt.
There's a test Thursday, then there's a test Friday. You don't punt. I was hired on as a general manager of the company. I can't punt.
Okay.
I not only have to pass this test, I have to pass with a score in the 90s.
All right. So you study.
It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
Sleep test. Is for the dead.
That's exactly what I did. I went home. I went to a grocery store, got one of those rotisserie chickens, a couple bottles of water, about 20 pounds of chocolate.
Let's do this.
And I went and read the entire textbook, did all the chapter reviews, read the glossary about 5 times, walked in, scored a 92.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
And came back to town, and after about 2 weeks after I was here, we got 7 inches of rain in 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I sat in a truck as the bicep portion of the team.
Yeah.
And we work 16 hours a day for 10 days.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's so much work.
And at that point, I vowed never, ever, ever to make my employees work 16 hours a day.
Okay.
No matter what. And that's common in our industry.
Just to push them that hard?
Yeah, 12's it for me.
Okay.
12 hours
that's
a day.
That's still a long day.
It's a long day, especially if you're working physically. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're hauling people's basement contents so they're wet, you're ripping out carpet, mm-hmm. you're hauling in dehumidifiers and fans to dry people's homes. Mm-hmm. In between each trip, someone's got a question. It's very physically and mentally demanding.
Sure.
So 12 is pushing it for us.
Right.
12 hours is a long day.
Sure.
And even then, if we had a big storm, I wouldn't push it past a 6-day week.
Okay.
I would try to keep it down.
Right. So I've met people that do what you do, and they were more or less storm chasers in what I would call the central United States. Yeah. Like they're going south to Tennessee when they had huge floods and stuff like that. Is that, do you have to do that, or is
no,
that, there's enough business
not.
Around here?
It's a business model that I don't want any part of.
Sure.
One, you need people who are transient and mobile
yeah.
and can leave their families for a month at a time.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
No.
It's a business model that really is not compatible with ours.
Sure.
Our business model is to be there when our local customers need us.
Sure.
I've got a lot of people, realtors and property managers, owners and attorneys and more realtors mm-hmm. that call us.
Yeah.
And take care of their clients. Well, I couldn't take care of them very well if I was in Kentucky.
No.
Now, there's a lot of money to be made.
Sure.
In a storm location.
Right.
One, it's a cash flow nightmare. How do you operate your crew for 6 months waiting for an insurance company to pay you? Two.
Not great. Yeah.
No. People on the road. Who takes care of your customers at home while you're gone?
I have no idea.
Nobody.
Voicemail.
Nobody. So I don't begrudge the people who are storm chasers. I mean, mm-hmm. we had storm chasers in from all over the country last year.
Oh, really?
And, well, yeah, we got those gigantic storms, mm-hmm. record rainfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Middleton, and a train bridge was washed out.
Oh, I mean, that's right. The whole Middleton. Yeah,
do you know how much water it takes to wash out a train bridge?
A lot.
These aren't footbridges in, mm-hmm. you know, in a conservancy. These are things that
made
are designed.
The whole tons that are moving.
The hundreds and thousands of tons, yeah. So, you know, when a train bridge goes, that's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And we had all the business we could stand.
Sure.
And we were turning away. I turned around about $500,000 worth of work.
That's when Costco flooded and you had all those office buildings out there in that industrial area.
Yeah. And I was in Costco the day they were ready to open. And I was talking with the restoration company
yeah.
that did that job.
Okay.
And I was complimenting them. 2 weeks. Took 2 weeks to get Costco reopened.
That's not terrible, is it? I'm guessing it's not bad.
Most of the businesses in that area took 6 months to a year.
Oh,
so okay.
2 weeks is all right.
So there are times when storm chasing is good.
Yeah. I mean,
Madison definitely benefited from storm chasers all the Midwest.
Because they needed it.
We needed them. Absolutely, right. We needed them. It's just not my business model.
Sure.
That's not fair. It's not the way. I have all the business I can stand within 50 miles of home.
That's good.
Why on earth would I go to Indiana or Iowa or Kansas? Why would anybody go to Kansas anyway?
Yeah. I'm sure there's some nice business down there. It's all good. I haven't been there.
I don't think so.
Years. When's the last time you've been there?
You could go to Oklahoma as a day trip, I suppose.
Okay, yeah, I'll pass on Oklahoma. Yeah. I've been there before. That's yeah.
So
once is enough.
Mold is our specialty.
Okay.
That's what we're known for.
All right.
If you look on places like Google, mm-hmm. you'll see us, top-rated mold company.
Sure.
If you go on Home Advisor, top-rated mold company. We're the number one rated company in this area.
Sure.
And it's because we understand not only the scientific and physical needs of taking care of a home with mold growth in it, the psychological needs are huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny. No, I do not have a degree in psychology.
Okay.
But it's a big part of what I do for a living.
Sure.
I mean, homeowners are distraught.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, you have homeowners that don't understand it. They've been, since they heard the word mold mentioned in their home, they've been on the internet nonstop just reading about people scaring the bejesus out of them.
Let's just go down that rabbit hole. Huh?
Yeah, well, and there are people in our industry that profit from scaring people. And I don't do that.
I would bet quite a few.
I don't
do
that. One, no, mold is not a toxin.
Okay.
People think it is. Oh my God, toxic black mold. Somebody made that up on the internet somewhere
right.
along the line.
Sure.
Mold is not toxic. The Environmental Protection Agency lists mold as an allergen.
Okay.
So you have somebody with hay fever, mm-hmm. for instance, mm-hmm. reacting to pollen in the air in the spring.
Sure.
That same person or someone with similar symptoms could react the same way to mold in the air.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
I walk into a situation, my wife and I are classic polar opposites when it comes to mold. Mm-hmm. I walk into a house full of mold. Mm-hmm. Doesn't affect me one bit. Okay. In fact, if I do walk into a house and my eyes start watering and I start sneezing, you should be running for the hills. That's really bad. My wife will walk in. She'll start sneezing right away.
In
a mild condition. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, her allergies. It's just the way her body reacts to mold.
All right.
So my people, when we go into mold jobs, we're talking about hazmat suits. We're talking about full-face respirators with P100 cartridges and small things like having to shave, mm-hmm. clean shave in the day you put your mask on.
Okay.
So that the mold doesn't get inhaled around the seal
sure.
on your face.
Sure.
So what we do is we follow the national standards from an organization called ICRC.
Okay.
Which is cleaning and restoration industry. And to give you an idea of the credibility of that organization, if you went to the Environmental Protection Agency's website and talked about and looked up mold, mm-hmm. they would reference the IICRC in the book called the S520,
okay.
which is the standard of care for mold mitigation, much like the S500 is the standard of care for water restoration.
Okay.
And they've got them for fire and all sorts of things. So when we talk about certifying technicians, we're certifying them to the national standards.
Okay.
So that they understand the same thing somebody in New York or California understand how to do the procedure the exact same way.
Sure.
So most of our customers demand that.
Okay.
If we start talking about insurance companies or agents or property managers, they want to know in advance what standard of care we're going to use. We tell them and we're real good. So I just had two guys in Chicago last week getting certified.
Okay. All right. So it's not just a guy with a truck and a vacuum cleaner or something like that.
Well, there are those people out there. And that's what you have to be afraid of.
In every industry.
We just, two schmucks in a truck operating out of grandma's garage.
Sure.
And I don't, I don't begrudge anybody for starting a business.
Sure.
But, if you're going to be a doctor, you should go to medical school.
Right.
At least for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Get a rough
idea.
And
if you're going to get into mold and water business, the problem is you're going to charge somebody a large amount of money mm-hmm. to go in and deconstruct their house, mm-hmm. Get it ready for drying, sanitize it, mm-hmm. and then dry their home. Mm-hmm. When you walk out the door, the assumption is that that house is dry
right.
and ready to rebuild it.
Right.
Well, if you don't know what you're doing, how can you assure that?
Sure.
So homeowners should insist that the people doing the mitigation work in their house are certified. So
you raise an interesting point,
in the correct discipline.
Sure. You raise an interesting point. Where does your liability end after you do the job?
If the home is dry, mm-hmm. when we are done, we've done our job.
Okay.
If mold grows in that house, mm-hmm. In the area that we worked in, we're liable.
Okay.
And we will come back. Now, everybody has a one-year warranty, and it seems like everybody in the whole world has this magical one-year warranty. How they came up with that number, I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
If I did some work on your house and 2 years later you said, hey, I found some mold, mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and fix it for free.
Sure.
Clearly.
Right.
Now, that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Right? But it can happen.
Sure.
Especially in places like attics where mm-hmm. it's very difficult for people to work. You're mm-hmm. laying down in a hazmat suit with a respirator on.
Oh, I can't imagine. And I don't even like being in an attic when I don't have a hazmat suit on.
Right.
Yeah. Let alone dealing with all that.
Yeah. So, but we do attics,
sure.
People that have attics that are improperly ventilated
mm-hmm.
or the roofer made a mistake. I went to look at a job the other day mm-hmm. north of Madison.
Yeah.
And the customer told me that it was raining down from the ridge vent, the center ridge of their attic. And I went up there and the inside of the attic was very moldy.
Okay.
And the access hole to their attic was one of those pull-down ladder deals.
Sure.
And so the moist air from their home could easily get into their attic
mm-hmm.
and then hit the cold surface of the roof and then condensate into moisture.
Sure.
So the roofer had just put in a brand new roof, and the client, and he's a man and woman, couple, a retired couple, and she said, well, just so you know, I know it wasn't the roofer's problem.
Oh.
And I said, okay, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Well, the roofer had put a metal roof on.
Okay.
And lift some slits in the peak of it to allow air to leave the building into a ridge vent, and then taped up the slits that he cut. And then it was raining. It was the water was condensating up against that cold steel roof and dripping down into the attic. So the roofer came back and put fiberglass insulation in there.
Okay.
Well, what he should have done is taken the tape off
yeah.
and let that moisture out of the house. In addition to that, the soffit vents at the lower end of the attic had insulation stuffed in them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So what you
so
basically...
no airflow.
None. None at all. None at all. So... what you had then is a perfect storm
okay.
for water to condensate.
Sure.
You had the air passing into the attic through the access hole where the ladder was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unobstructed. It was just big gaps in there. There's no way that the air wouldn't have gone there.
Sure.
Hot air rises, takes the moisture with it,
right.
hits the cold roof, condensates, turns into a liquid. The liquid feeds the mold in the air in
sure.
the attic, yada, yada. The plywood roof is the food.
Okay.
And so we're going to take care of that.
Okay.
But I'm meeting the roofer. So I asked the client, I said, so tell me about this roofer.
Yeah.
What's the name of his company? And she said, well, he doesn't own a company.
Oh,
I
boy.
Said, okay. Is he a roofer or isn't he a roofer?
Yeah.
She said, well, he works for a roofing company. I said, well, how long? She says, doesn't matter. It's not his fault. My guess is it's her grandson or
sure.
nephew or somebody she knows. It was done wrong
right.
and caused the mold. No doubt about it. In my mind,
sure.
cause and effect, boom.
So then you essentially have to put something in there in your contractor agreement that says we can warranty this, whatever, as long as whatever the initial problem was is solved. Otherwise, it's just
well, we
back.
Won't do any work until the initial problem
oh, okay.
is solved.
Gotcha. Okay.
Why would I? No, so, the roofer okay. has to go in either before us, or if he doesn't want to go into the moldy attic, he would have to go in directly after us. And I mean, the day we're done,
sure.
he goes in. Now, we can pipe in fresh air.
Right.
That's a no-brainer.
Sure.
I've got electric air conditioners and furnaces that are portable that we can put fresh air into the attic.
Sure.
So he would have to come in there directly.
Okay.
And if his work isn't done correctly...
right, we got more
it's
problems.
Going to happen again
sure.
but no you know it's funny because before I got in this industry I didn't even know what the word remediation was.
Oh, all right.
Somebody told me the word, a company that was trying to recruit me, and I said, that's not a word, you made that up. It's not a word.
You're just pulling.
So they just made it up.
Right. Just like Google or something. You just made this up.
Yeah. So
a lot of syllables.
So I looked it up.
All right.
But it is a word.
It turns out.
It's a real word, yeah.
All right.
And so the word mitigation and remediation.
Sure.
Close enough.
We'll remedy the situation.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
But I stopped using the word remediation years ago because I got tired of explaining it five times a day. Everybody understands the word mitigation.
Sure.
Actually, most people don't understand what the
yeah,
word means.
I was going to say.
But
yeah.
they're just like, close enough. I get it. You're going to fix something, right?
Sciencey type word with a shun.
Good enough.
All right.
Good enough. So we don't even use the word remediation.
You'll get rid of the poop water and kill the mold. All right, got it.
The poop water. Yeah. We don't. That's not a technical word, but
people,
yes.
You know what it is.
Yeah, it is.
So you got to tell me a story then. When you, I imagine you come across water in a basement, sometimes there's landscaping issues that's causing that.
Many, many times.
So then do you fix landscaping stuff or do you
no,
have to call in a
no.
company that?
Well, what we do is we've got landscaping companies that we can recommend.
Okay.
I tend not to be the general contractor on landscaping. It's not
sure.
my business. It's
right.
not something I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's window wells. Sometimes it's window wells with no covers on them.
Sure.
Sometimes it's window wells full of leaves where the water goes in the window well off the... And I've seen it where it'll come right off the gutter, straight into the window well, fill the window well completely. Water comes in. It's a finished wall,
okay.
finished floors.
Sure.
And it's been happening for 10 years, and they can't understand why their basement's a little musty, even though they have their $79 dehumidifier that they got on sale at Walmart.
Sure.
Running down there.
All
it's
right.
just too much water for it to handle.
Gotcha.
So my position is I come in and try to figure out what happened, the extent of what happened, why it happened.
Sure.
And at that point, we may bring subcontractors in right away.
Okay.
I mean, I may have to bring in a Roto-Rooter company to unclog a drain, or I may have to call a plumber in right away to fix pipes, or... whatever.
Sure.
We may have to do some impromptu landscaping to get the pile of dirt pushed away from the house
sure.
to channel the water away from the house. But then we just let them turn that over to a professional landscaper.
Okay.
But it's very important to understand, and this is all part of the training from the IICRC. You, A, have to identify the source of the water, and sometimes it's 4, 5, 6 sources. We just did a job with 8 ice dams, 8 specific ice dams in one house.
Wow.
2 broken pipes and water coming through a crack in a wall.
All in one house?
In one house, yeah.
Wow.
Big job.
How, that didn't happen all at once.
The walls had been leaking for a while.
Okay.
The pipes and the ice dams happened simultaneously.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, I had one last year, if I remember correctly, the call is February 8th. And I only know that because the paperwork for this job is about 2 inches thick. And I typed February 8th many, many times.
Sure.
But the all the pipes in the house had burst when it was 30 degrees below zero. Because
did they not have the heat on?
The boiler went out.
Oh.
The boiler went down. It was hydronic heat, radiators throughout the house. Every radiator burst.
Oh.
Right? Ouch. There was a small sanitary sump pump in the basement, but couldn't keep up with all the burst pipes.
Sure.
So there was, you know, a half a foot of water in the basement.
All right.
That was going on for a week before the homeowner found it. This was a cottage up on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
The entire inside of the house was covered with frost.
With frost.
Frost. Oh. Half inch of ice and frost on the windows, quarter inch of frost on the entire house. Luckily, the insurance company sent a very educated senior adjuster.
Okay.
And we had a conversation, and I explained what I wanted to do, what I thought I needed to do, mm-hmm. and she was on board with it, so the project went smooth.
Okay.
So the project went smooth.
Sure.
But we had to heat that house. We had to get it hotter than normal, faster than normal, and have more dehumidification than we needed
to stop that ice from causing
Well, what we're
problems,
trying to
right?
do is sublimate the water, get it to turn from a solid
avoid
the liquid stage and turn it into a gas right away so that we could evaporate it rather than have it drip all over the cedar wood paneling. Oh, it was a big job.
Wow.
Big job. Yeah.
Sure.
We're proud of the way that one came out. So the mental rewards for us.
Sure.
Other than, you know, you don't own a business. Reason to have a business, obviously, support yourself, make some money, give your employees a nice living. But there's tons of mental rewards.
Sure.
In our business, fixing somebody's house. It's funny because on day one, if we get to a disaster, it's things like hugs, kisses. You're the greatest people in the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
After 4 days of dealing with insurance companies, listening to dehumidifiers and fans, they've changed from hugs and kisses to, could you please just leave my house and get out of here?
I live with the mold.
And then, no, they don't. No. They're like, get out of here. Can you leave tomorrow? I can't sleep.
Sure.
And then it's time to start putting their house back together, which never goes as fast.
Sure.
Because
it got wrecked.
I mean, we got a lot of great subcontractors that we work with around Madison. Well, they weren't expecting my phone call.
Sure.
And they weren't sitting around with nothing. They're booked weeks and months
out. After talking with a lot of them, I don't know if they're expecting any phone calls.
Well, I mean, flooring. And flooring's a big part of every job.
Yeah.
And flooring companies are booked out 6-8 weeks.
Yeah.
Drywallers and painters are booked. So it becomes a big challenge when it comes time. So what I try to do when I first get to a job, we want to talk about mitigation first. We want to solve the problem, get the house dry and safe and sanitized. But then the customer is like, what about rebuild? What about rebuild? I'm like, whoa. Huh. We're going to talk about that.
Sure.
But that's not going to happen on Thursday.
Right.
All right. We may not start that for a week or two or
sure.
2 months or 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I've got friends in the remodeling industry. I mean, they're booking into March and April right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
so with the labor shortage,
crazy business now.
With the labor shortage in Madison and the underabundance, is that a word? Underabundance?
It is here.
It must be overabundance as stepchild cousin. But the underabundance of skilled tradesmen in Madison really puts a bite on what we're doing. So when we're very busy, when there's big storms or huge ice storms, or it's 30 degrees below zero, I tell a customer, if you have any friends in the rest in the construction business, call them now.
Sure.
See if you can get slipped in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can only rebuild houses as fast, you know, so fast.
Right.
It takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. So you must have a typical pool of general contractors, subcontractors that
sure.
you work with?
Sure.
Okay, that you can trust.
Plumbers, electricians, drywallers, painters, sure. insulation companies.
Right.
You bet. Flooring people. You All bet. Right. Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is I see a lot of restoration companies become or join up with carpet cleaners. So how are they connected?
Yeah.
Is it the cleaning the carpets after a mess happens?
No. I can answer that.
Okay.
The company I used to manage was a carpet cleaning company and restoration company.
Oh, okay.
I won't mention which one.
Sure.
And so the restoration business was born almost out of the carpet cleaning industry.
Okay.
Because if you had water in your basement, you'd want one of those carpet cleaning trucks to come and suck it up.
Sure.
Well, there's a lot more to it than that. Sucking up the water is the first hour.
Right.
Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, we can, let's say a house had 2 foot of water
mm-hmm.
and it was clean water, came in through a broken pipe or something
sure.
like that. If it's a sewage job, everything goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it gets sewage on it,
yeah.
pretty much, other than keepsakes, family heirlooms, it's going in a dumpster.
Right.
And I buy a lot of dumpsters, by the way.
All right.
Yeah. But furniture, carpeting,
mm-hmm.
pad, couches,
okay.
clothing, we could save it all.
Because you're using carpet cleaning type equipment.
No, because we dry everything in place
okay.
and sanitize everything.
Okay.
So the IICRC that I was talking about
mm-hmm.
has all the standard of care for carpet cleaning as well.
Oh.
How to clean carpet, furniture, drapes, tile,
okay.
ceramic floors, this
sure.
kind of floor. It's an organization that really talks about how to properly clean and restore everything.
Sure.
And they really are the gold standard in the world, not just
right.
the United States, in the world,
okay.
on how to properly clean and restore. They don't deal with construction issues.
Sure.
They deal with cleaning and mitigation, sanitizing,
gotcha.
Getting a house back to a safe condition, and keeping the homeowners, their kids, grandma,
sure.
and my employees all safe at the same time
okay.
while doing it. It's a great organization.
Yeah.
I love it because you're not guessing at anything.
Sure. It's already been done.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
Yeah, and they're constantly coming up with new best standard practices. But in my office, in our meeting room,
mm-hmm.
a big long meeting table that we meet at every Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
and in the middle of that is the S500 and the S520
mm-hmm.
and this code book and that code book. And my people know that there is no I don't know. There's I don't know yet.
Oh, the worst answer in the world, right, is I don't know.
I don't know. But if you said I don't know yet,
sure.
that means that you have
There's
a game plan.
There's a presupposition
plan.
There.
Either I'm going to call somebody who knows,
right.
or this is so far out of my field, I'm going to bring in an expert in that field.
Sure, that's
Or
fair.
I'm just going to go back to the office and open the book because the answers are in those books.
Figure it out. Sure.
Or call me. My mm-hmm. employees know that what their latitude of decision-making ability is in the
sure.
field. They're trained. They know what they can do. And I have a lot of respect for the people who work for
sure.
my company.
Sure.
But there are situations that arise that I don't want them making decisions on.
Mm-hmm.
So with the new smartphones, it's wonderful. We can take pictures. We can send texts.
Mm-hmm.
So we can solve some of those problems over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no problem driving 40 minutes clear across the county if I have to get my eyes on it, or dragging a structural engineer or an insulation or a plumber guy.
Sure.
Let's do it right.
Better safe than sorry.
Let's just do it right.
Just do the job.
Let's just do it right. And if that requires, I just had a house where a chimney leaked.
Okay.
I'm going to guess for 25 years, the
That's
cap.
That's a long time.
Oh, I think they built it on one day and the next day it started leaking.
Right.
And the chimney's been leaking to the point where all the wooden structure inside the brick chimney was all rotted and it fell down to the bottom of the chimney. It's a 30-some foot high chimney.
Oh, no.
The floor under it is rotted. The roof is rotted. I mean, it's just bad news everywhere.
Sure.
And, you know, a job like that, insurance helps, but they're not going to cover it all. And
now, tell me about that. Why wouldn't they cover it all?
I'll explain in a second. So my point is, mm-hmm. I had to bring in a structural engineer.
Oh,
and this is beyond me, man. I'm not a chimney brick fixing guy.
Chimney rebuilder?
Well, yeah. So we actually brought in a structural engineer.
All right.
And then we brought in a company to put a new cap on. And then we did have to bring a mason in to re-tuck point all the bricks, and next we're bringing in a waterproofing company to put on a elastomeric waterproofing coating, which is designed to work on the negative pressure side of a brick wall. I know nothing. This is not what I do.
Sure.
Right? So you, what do? You bring in the guy who knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do part of the rebuild, but really I'm subbing out most of it.
Sure.
Because it's outside my field. My field is restoration work and then bread and butter rebuild, drywall,
right.
Insulation, some flooring, trim, painting, sure. Texture, stuff like that.
Sure, yeah. The basic stuff.
Yep, and that's really not the skill set that we're super proud of. We do a good job, mm-hmm. but it's how to deal with the water and mold on day one. That's mm-hmm. that's our bread and butter.
So you're a company that is expecting the emergency calls, or the subcontractors are more.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, yeah, because whoever's on call for a company is expected to sleep with their phone next to their bed that night.
Sure.
And if the phone rings, mm-hmm. That person does a triage, decides if it is an emergency. Mm-hmm. You would not believe there are people in the world who call you at 2:00 in the morning to schedule an inspection because they think they may have some mold in their closet.
Oddly enough, because I have calls on call, I would believe that.
And
we do get some odd calls. In the
yeah,
middle of
it's
yeah.
not an emergency.
Yeah.
It's not an emergency. But if it is an emergency,
sure.
We will go.
Mm-hmm.
We will get out of bed and we will go.
Yeah.
And we will take care of that. And there are some subcontractors who do get called in the middle of the night.
Sure.
For instance, let's say you lived in a 70-year-old house and you had a 60-amp breaker panel, mm-hmm. or a fuse box. Remember that word?
Yeah.
Remember that? Right?
The
right
screw in fuses?
Yeah, the screw in fuses. Well, those houses are still out there.
Sure.
So we get there, and all of a sudden, I put in enough equipment where I need
more power.
100 amps.
Sure.
I need 100 amps of power.
That's a lot,
by the way.
Yeah.
Well, no, a dehumidifier is 9.5 amps each.
Is it really?
So, oh, yeah. Oh,
and
they run nonstop. They don't cycle in and out. Like your home one will turn on when it feels like it and turn
right.
on. No, these are huge. It's like the size of a dishwasher.
Sure.
And these things will suck the water out of the wall. They literally will suck the water out of the walls.
Sure.
And so let's say I had to put in four of those and I had to put in 50 fans at amp and a half a piece. How much
sure.
power did I just use? I used 120
More than
amps.
60, yeah.
Yeah. So how do I do that? Do I get
long
a generator?
Extension cord from the neighbor.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it. No. That gets me 20 amps.
Right.
Right? So we have to tie into their panel above the main.
All right.
There's a lot of solutions.
Sure.
Maybe it's generators, which we have our portable generators.
Sure.
But we'll do it.
All right.
We have all the equipment it takes to go out in the middle of the night and handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fun? Sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say it better be a little bit.
No, it's
messy work.
It's a guy thing.
Right.
You know, you want to be rough and tumble.
I just want to fix this.
And that's it. I mean, if you have the mentality that you like overcoming problems and adversity, mm-hmm. you'd be great in our industry.
Sure.
If you're afraid of physical work and you're afraid of dealing with problems
yeah.
or emotional customers or ceilings caving in, you probably shouldn't do this.
Sure. So you had a great segue, a couple segues. I want to talk about three main things here. One is insurance, the other is employees, and then shifting to the story about more about how you started and
sure.
some of the challenges there. So let's talk about insurance.
Sure.
Because I know in your business, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I know from having to deal with a couple insurance companies just for much smaller items, cars and stuff mm-hmm. like that, that I feel like I'm paying for a promise that a lot of companies aren't interested in keeping.
Well, no, I wouldn't agree with that.
Okay.
That's
just my experience.
Well, here, let me ask you a question. Have you read your homeowner's policy?
Mm-hmm.
You've read all 17 pages?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's unusual because most people don't. Did you read your auto policy, every paragraph?
Yes.
Okay, so you understand what you bought.
Yeah.
And you understand.
A lot of loopholes.
And you understand. Well, and that's exactly right. I have a property and casualty insurance license.
Okay.
I've never sold a policy in my life, nor do I intend to.
Sure.
But it does help me understand my business a lot.
Yeah.
And if you understand how policies are written,
mm-hmm.
a policy is written where the declaration page is up front.
Sure.
And it lists all the wonderful things
yeah.
you think you're buying.
These are the basic numbers.
No.
And this is how we're not
no,
going to
because,
pay
for
instance,
it. In the declaration page, let's say it says water and sewer backup, but there's no dollar amount in the far right column. That means you didn't buy it.
Okay.
Just because it's listed
sure.
in the index, mm-hmm. in the contents,
sure.
that you can figure the declaration page is like the contents page in a book.
Right.
Right? you didn't buy it, actually. So then you have to read the base of the policy to see if the policy covers it. But then you have to read the exclusion page because the exclusion may say, yeah, it's in the policy, but you don't have it.
Sure.
All right. Then you have to read your rider page to find out if your insurance agent was smart enough to say, okay, it says it on a declaration page. It says it in a policy. It's taken out in the exclusions. And for $9 a year, I'll put it back in.
Right.
And most water and sewer backup riders are incredibly cheap. And
when you,
and when you think about the fact that water damage in your basement is going to run you anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 to dry it out and put it back together, that should be, you should read that.
Yes.
But people don't read them.
Mm-hmm.
So do insurance companies not deliver on their promises? No, I don't think so.
No,
because
no, no,
the promises
no.
are in writing, and had you read it, you'd realize that you actually weren't promised something.
Well, let me preface that a little bit, or back up a step and say, it's lawyer speak, right?
They exactly.
Don't, they don't just come out and say, "Look, man, if your sewer floods or your drain backs up, we're not covering that."
Some do.
They don't say it that plain.
Yeah, they do. Some of them just say it that simple. Yeah, I did a job. Here. I did a job 3 or 4 months ago. A woman called me on a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
I was watching a Packer game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that'd be 3 months ago. Preseason game. She called me up. She said, so-and-so told me you fixed her house. She had water and mold. I water in my basement. I said, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Sure.
You know, put some shoes on. Away I went.
Right.
Well, our basement had flooded.
Okay.
Real deal.
Okay.
Right? So we're, you know, putting together the paperwork for the job. And I said, do you happen to know your deductible? She said, no. And I said, well, can I read your policy? And she had a policy that hadn't been renewed probably since about 1965. It annually renewed, but it hadn't been modified and modernized. She had a 2% policy. So what that means on your homeowner's policy, the structure A list is your main structure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her structure was worth about $400,000, right? 2% of that was her deductible. Her deductible was $8,400.
Oh.
That's a huge deductible.
That is a huge deductible.
So I helped her with her insurance policy, talked to her agent, and they got her deductible way down. She ended up not filing a claim because the job was only $7,000.
Oh, all right.
For the whole thing.
Sure.
So I'm very instrumental in helping customers understand their insurance. What I would say about the entire industry as a whole, insurance companies have an obligation and I believe a sincere desire to make you whole again, right? To fix your house.
Sure.
If you bought the correct insurance for that.
Sure.
So when people are watching TV and they hear the thing, hey, I saved 18% in 15 minutes. No, you didn't.
Yeah, what did you get?
You didn't get anything because the insurance industry on a good year makes 6% net profit. That's a banner year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you cut 18% off a product that only has a 6% profit margin?
Sure.
You change the product.
Sure.
So my advice to anyone who really wants some peace of mind, read your insurance. If you don't understand it, ask your agent.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, because I buy a lot of insurance.
Okay.
I mean, workman's comp and pollution insurance are my two biggest.
Sure.
So when I have questions about what I think I'm covered at, even at my home, I send a question in the form of an email to my agent.
Okay.
I want them to send it to the underwriter, and I want the underwriter's answer in writing.
Yes.
And that goes in my insurance binder.
Sure.
Now, that's an elaborate process for somebody who is a homeowner and doesn't think about insurance the way I do.
No, getting in and writing, that's
necessary. So most people, I'm going to say the fact that you read your homeowner policy puts you in, I don't know, 2%. 2%.
I saw in the first, I don't know, page or two where it said like something on the order of if nuclear holocaust happens, insurance isn't going to cover that.
Right.
And I was thinking like, huh. Is that a big deal? Do they have a rider for that? Then I was thinking, well, let's presume that they did. Would they be around to even write a check?
Exactly. Neither would you.
Would I have a bank to
but on
stuff
the,
like that? That was like, oh, that's
on the flip
funny.
Side of it, years ago, might be even 20 years ago now,
sure.
Barneveld got hit by a tornado.
Okay.
Wiped out most of the town.
Okay.
And all the big insurance companies were there with their trailers with their name on them, and rightly so. And they were setting up tables.
Yeah.
And they were, yeah, what's your name? Jim Bombs. Okay, listen, you're covered. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We've got hotels rented for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a check for $10,000 to get you going. We're going to worry about all this in the next week or so. Let's get you and your family safe. Let's get you fed.
Sure.
There's doctors here. Man, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I mean, think about that. That's right. Pretty good. They came to you.
Sure.
So they handled that disaster.
Right.
And when big storms hit Madison, which we've had a lot of
in
the last 6-7 years, mm-hmm. we've had more than our share.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies bring in adjusters from out of town
mm-hmm.
Just to speed up the claims process. So to answer your question, I think that insurance companies, by and large, have a very helpful attitude.
Sure.
But man, when 20,000 homes get hit by hail damage,
right,
you can't expect the insurance company to come out next week.
No. I think in the email, I think they could solve that. I think they could automate a lot of that.
Good luck.
It's 2019, not 1974.
I mean, you still have the human element in the process. A human being still has to drive somewhere, look at something,
sure.
fill out some papers.
Sure. On something of that scale, I think it could be automated to a point.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think most of the insurance adjusters that I work with on a regular basis care.
I have opposite experience of that.
Well, and it's a matter of actions versus expectations, maybe.
Could be.
I don't know your example.
Nah.
And we know, and I'm not here to defend the insurance industry because I am on the opposite corner of the triangle
sure.
of them. There's
right.
the homeowner, the insurance company, and me.
Yep.
I don't work for the insurance company. I do work for the homeowner, mm-hmm. but the insurance company has a lot to say about how much I get paid.
Right. Right. Very true.
All right. We're using software that's used internationally.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Xactimate. It's a national pricing grid
mm-hmm.
for everything we do. And then it changes by zip code.
So they tell you what you're going to get paid.
They tell me what they think I should get paid. And the word adjuster means we're going to adjust prices, attitudes, understandings.
Sure.
And sometimes price goes up, sometimes it goes down.
Okay.
But it's a conversation.
Sure.
And the thing is, this isn't like getting your kitchen remodeled, right? Where a contractor can come in and say, all right, cabinets are so much, flooring, electrical. We all know the numbers up front.
Sure.
In a kitchen remodel, for instance.
Sure.
I walk in your house after a kitchen fire.
You got a lot of variables there.
Oh, how much smoke damage is in the bedroom? How long is it going to take to get that grease off the ceiling before
sure.
we can? There's a lot going on. So there's a
right.
big, there's a trust factor
mm-hmm.
between the restoration industry and the insurance industry and the homeowner,
mm-hmm.
right? And the insurance industry understands that we are doing what's supposed to be done on day 1, 2, and 3
sure.
to mitigate the problem. Let's get it under control so it doesn't spread. For instance, you walk in a fire an hour after the fire and the kitchen countertop, for instance, didn't get burnt.
Okay.
Let's say it's Corian. It's a $5,000 countertop. But there's soot
mm-hmm.
from the fire, which was in the living room, on the Corian top.
Mm-hmm.
That soot, A, is electrostatically charged.
Okay.
B, will stain your Corian if it's left there long enough. So I, as a restoration contractor, my responsibility is to go in, get that soot out of there, cover it up so that I protect that $5,000 countertop.
Mm-hmm.
I do things like that, and I gain the respect of the insurance company. They understand
sure.
that we're there. And if somehow the countertop got stained, well, then it happens. But
sure.
if we took all the steps humanly known to save it, we
mm-hmm.
tried,
mm-hmm.
we did our best.
Sure.
So there's a big trust factor with the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's weeks in between doing the work and negotiating and having the conversation about the money side of it.
Sure.
And some information can get lost. And the fact that you're working on 30 or 50 other jobs.
Right.
So everything gets documented heavily, pictures, notes, graphs, drawings,
sure.
signatures.
Mm-hmm.
We have all that.
Okay.
You bet.
Let me shift into employees, because you got messy work, it's challenging work, and there's a shortage
yeah.
of skilled labor in the Madison
area. Blue-collar skilled labor.
Yeah.
yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
Very difficult. The old business model used to be hire someone as close to the job description that you have as possible and hope to get along with the rest of your staff. Right. We business owners know that that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
I work in a niche industry within 50 mile radius. I think I have 9 competitors.
Oh, right.
Maybe it's 11. I don't know. 2 guys in your mom's garage might
sure.
be starting tomorrow. I don't know.
Sure.
Hopefully we all are operating on the same standards.
Mm-hmm.
And finding people with experience in our industry, very difficult.
I bet.
Very difficult. So one of the things that we've adopted is let's hire personality. Mm-hmm. Let's hire a person with the dexterity and mental capacity to handle what we do. Mm-hmm. Let's hire somebody with some fire in the belly.
Sure.
You know, that's real important. Mm-hmm. Do they want to do this work?
Right.
And can they deal with the mental and physical problems that happen in this industry?
Sure.
And if so, we'll teach them how to do the job.
Okay.
We'll ramp. Like two people I just had in Chicago last week getting certified, neither one of them, when they came to work for me, had any experience in this industry.
Okay.
And they're coming along nicely.
Sure.
And I think they'll be with our company for a long time.
Nice.
Now they need the skills training. And I'd rather send them to the people who wrote the book.
Right.
And let them teach them. And then.
Sure.
The meeting, our Monday morning meeting last week, my first topic conversation was, what did you learn in class that we are not doing in our company?
Oh, great question. Huge presupposition.
What are we not doing? And I'm opening myself up to get blasted here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, what are we not doing right? And they said, well, they call a couple things different than we do. Different terminology.
Nomenclature?
Well, yeah. Okay. You got to figure people in Alabama, people in New York and California, sure, Wisconsin are going to use different terminology for certain things.
I'm not going to wet my pants over wording.
No. But for the most part, we were spot on.
Sure.
And I made them do a lot of studying before they went down.
So they didn't have to cram.
Well, no. I wanted them to think the test was going to be really hard.
Sure.
So I wanted them to be over-prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And they both realized that, you know, halfway through the class, you're like, God, we do this every day.
Sure.
We already know the answer. So between doing it every day and reading
right.
the standard of care and the sure. study guides that we bought, mm-hmm. I'm sure I haven't seen their scores yet.
Right.
takes about 2 weeks. But no, I'm convinced.
Sure.
No, I'm convinced that they both did real well.
All right.
People's hard.
Sure.
People's hard. In our industry, let's say you have a big storm and you're mm-hmm. pressing hard and everybody's working overtime and you're working weekends. Mm-hmm. Attitudes can flare.
Oh, yeah.
The drama and stress of the situation can manifest itself as somebody becoming mad, tired,
sure.
Snarky.
Right. Hangry.
And in our team, you know, when we have a couple crews out, the answer from the other person sitting next to him is like, I feel your pain. Let's get this done and go home. We'll worry sure. about it tomorrow.
Sure.
Just get it done.
Right.
Let's just get the work done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny, in our company, we have a saying, and the question is, what's the most important customer we have?
All right.
And the answer is the customers whose house you're working on right now.
Smart answer.
Don't shortcut this customer because we can get to another customer, all for the sake of money.
Sure.
We're going to make money. You right. do the right things, treat your customers right, you're going to make profits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But hurrying, shortcutting the standards
mm-hmm.
just to get to another job, to get another house, and then what? Are you going to shortcut them and go to the next
right,
one?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
It's a slippery
do
slope.
What you can
sure.
is what it is. I this is not something you'd hear a business owner normally say, but I'm proud of the fact that I'm willing to turn down business when we're busy.
Sure, sure.
I can only work my people so hard
mm-hmm.
to do the job right. Good work takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And what would I do? I'd wear them out. Somebody could get hurt. Somebody could get killed.
Or somebody could leave.
Somebody could quit.
I mean, killed is worse.
Killed is worse.
You don't want.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand the difference.
Yeah.
killed is worse. So, yeah.
But
so,
from a practical point of view, I could see people being like, you know what? I can get a job anywhere. I'm out. And then you're stuck with more business than you can handle and some frustrated clients.
If you look at the long-term plan of what you want your business to be at a year from now, 5 years, 10, 20 years from now,
mm-hmm.
You realize that your customers are just as, your employees are just as important as your customers.
And totally
you
should, true.
And
yeah.
you have to treat.
Arguably
you
more
have
so.
To treat. Oh, no, because you can't live without the customers either. If you had 20 employees and no customers,
right, but
that's a bad balance.
So what I looked down is I looked down the street and I can say, okay, there's hundreds of potential clients that I don't have right now. How many employees do I see down that same street?
None.
Right. So.
Right. So in our on our website mm-hmm. is our mission statement and value statement.
Yeah,
along
I
with,
saw that. It's
along
interesting.
With a piece I wrote called I'm On It.
Mm-hmm.
which you inspired me, by the way.
Oh, nice.
With your last book.
Sure.
I thought if he could write a book, I can write a book.
Get on that.
but the I'm on it is 18 Tenets of Personal Responsibility.
Sure.
And there's all sorts of good stuff on there. Mm-hmm. But one of them, my favorite, number five, is I'll make all my decisions based upon the best interest of my company and my customers.
Nice.
And rather than think, man, if I hurry up and do this, I could go hang out with my buddies.
Sure.
No, let's do it right. Stick it out. Let's stick around. And it might be, hey, Randy, I can't finish today. Boss, I can't finish this today to do it right. We have to come back tomorrow.
Sure.
Fine. We juggle our schedule every day. There's not a day that goes by where we actually do what was on the schedule a week ago.
Sure.
It all gets...
What's the nature of the business?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. So, no, I think if in our industry, if you focus on the disaster, the trauma, the negative energy, you won't last long as a owner or an employee. But if you focus on the fact that you're helping people and you think about how nice, in my mind, I can actually see what the house is going to look like when it's done.
Sure.
I can just visualize it. Mm-hmm. And if you're just working towards that and you're seeing your customers, they're not crying like they were yesterday because you're fixing their house and you helped them with their insurance and you packed up the baby pictures from great-great-grandma that were floating around the basement. If you focus on that, it's good business.
Indeed.
It's good business. Yeah.
True.
A lot of positives in our business.
Right. What's your website?
MadisonPropertyRestoration.com.
Awesome. And if someone wanted to get a hold of you, what would be the easiest or best way?
Stand on top of your house and scream.
Water over here.
No, can I give you the phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's 608-467-3360.
Awesome.
And we answer the phone round the clock.
I bet you have to.
Well, we do. We do.
Water in the basement doesn't get scheduled, right?
It just shows up. And you would think at this time of year, water wouldn't be going in the basement, right? Except pipes are freezing.
Yeah.
So people don't turn off their hose bibs.
Right.
And they burst. And one of, I'm trying not to make too much light of these situations.
Sure.
But we did a job years ago for a fella that went on vacation for 2 weeks, and he correctly turned off his water main before he left town.
Okay.
Which anybody's going to leave their house for more than a day, they should go downstairs and turn the water main off.
Totally do that.
Because if something leaks, you're going to have a 2-gallon leak instead of a 6,000 gallon leak.
Yes.
Right? So he went on vacation and they got home late at night. So he came home, went downstairs and turned his water back on, but he didn't have his hearing aids in. He's an older fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't hear the fact that the water was gushing out of a pipe that burst. So he came home, turned a valve on, and flooded his own house.
No.
And then he woke up in the morning and realized he had a flooded house.
What's that noise?
Insurance covered that.
All right.
His insurance company covered that. Happens.
Sure. I get it.
Happens.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Randy, for being on the show.
That's it. We're done.
This is it. We'll have to get you on the show again.
I have to go.
I have
more stories.
That's why we got to get you back on here. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Randy Schmidt, owner of Madison Property Restoration. I'll get this right yet.
Good enough.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Randy, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
This has been a blast.
You bet.
Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.